We go live now to Sana'a in Yemen, where Laura Kazanoff, New York Times reporter, joins us, as is the case often on Fridays. Friday prayers, Friday religious prayer services become political protests. And I gather that pattern is repeating itself once again, Laura.
Yes, that is correct. We've had a repeat of what has happened for the past 3 weeks in the country when over 100,000 protesters came out on both sides. We have the anti-government protests. That's a continuous sit-in going on in the Capitol. But more people come on Friday to participate in Friday prayers. But then also there have been these pro-Saleh rallies every Friday to compete with the anti-government protests in which Saleh delivers a speech. So that happened once again this Friday. We have, you know, over 100,000 people. They come from across the country. You actually see them getting bused in sort of the days on Thursday and then also on Friday morning in the back of pickup trucks. They'll come into the Capitol, do their short little, you know, it's a rally, they pray, and then it's about an hour, and then they leave. It's not a sit-in like the anti-government demonstration. And so this happened again. And the one thing about the pro-government rallies is we've sort of seen, there was a time when we thought that President Saleh was going to step down, many people predicted quite soon. But then he ended up hosting this large rally with hundreds of thousands of people coming out to support him. And it makes it seem like he has strength still and he has a lot of support still, and that a large part of the country doesn't want him to leave office early.
Well, I'm sure it's perplexing to the people of Yemen who are trying to figure out what their future is. We're talking with Laura Kazanoff, New York Times reporter in Sana'a, Yemen. The way you're describing the situation today, it's almost as though this is settling into something of a ritual. And we've also reported on negotiations apparently going on with the Saudis and the military in Yemen about a possible end game for President Saleh. Meanwhile, while the president is offering concessions to the protesters at one point or another while refusing to leave office, is this cat and mouse or a chess game here?
I think it's turned into a bit of a chess game. At one time, it seemed like more of cat and mouse. I think it's this week, to tell you the truth, Saleh's speech was less defiant than normal. He was less obstinate about him staying in power than normal. And it was more like, we support democracy and freedom, and you all came out here to support democracy and freedom. So what I think this is sort of significant of is that, or why this is telling, is that there is a lot going on behind the scenes in negotiations, trying to figure out what is going to happen, whether or not Saleh actually just hands over his presidential powers, or if he actually to his vice president, or if he actually leaves office. Now, I know the European Union and the U.S. are trying to work together in sort of conjunction with the Gulf Cooperation Council to push for this plan that he would leave office in a couple of months. So this is sort of what's going on behind the scenes while this happened, you know, while the sort of the protests are unfolding on the streets. But things have been, I mean, with the protests, things have stayed, you know, relatively peaceful. We have a couple of violent flare-ups here and there. And today in the central city, Taz, there was some violence. But for the most part, it just seems like now we're pushing on, and sort of what's going to happen is going to be decided behind the scenes.
Yemen, of course, is a nation known for poverty, not oil, in its location there on the Red Sea between Saudi Arabia and other Gulf countries. What is the expectation that this so-called reform movement will result in some sort of, I presume, Saudi aid actually going to the people in Yemen so that they feel less economically strapped? Because otherwise, they're not going to forget this. The reform movement is not simply going to go away, right?
Yes, this is true. I mean, Saudi is the largest international donor to Yemen and has been for quite some time. That said, there's a lot of the Saudi money actually goes to various tribal interests in the country that are benefit Saudi Arabia, not really benefit the country of Yemen as a whole. What a large portion of the international community is worried about right now, including the United Nations and the U.S., is that they feel Yemen, like you said, is an impoverished country, and we're worried that the economic situation right now is basically it's downward spiraling, and it's just going to get worse as long as this sort of political stalemate in the capital exists. You've seen foreign investment has just absolutely almost come to a standstill in the country since this has happened. There's been a lot of worry that the central bank reserves are being emptied while the president pays off to an increasingly extent tribal loyalties right now, because that's how he's been, historically kept support, is to give money to tribes. And right now he's doing that more than normal. It's very difficult to find dollars right now in the capital. If you go to a change place and ask for dollars, people get angry at you. So the economic crisis seems that it's looming in the country, and it seems that whatever shape Yemen's government is going to take in a couple months, that someone is going to have to help, whether that might be Saudi, give Yemen a huge bailout, as it has done in the past, or it be the IMF, the international community is going to have to step in
right.
and work with this new government. Because the other problem is with the new government, if there is a new government, or if this sort of, the political problems prolong, the foreign investment isn't going to rush into the country right away. You know, people wouldn't trust the new government. They wouldn't see what happens and this sort of thing. So the one thing is sure is that Yemen is going to need some economic help in the future after all of this.
And if they do get that help, it's conceivable that President Saleh could come out of this looking like a dictator with real reform credentials if this settles into the ritual that Lara Kazanoff is describing. Lara, thanks so much. You're live from Sana'a, Yemen. Is Lara Kazanoff, New York Times reporter, reporting on the uprising in Yemen today, which seems peaceful, relatively ritualistic, but still there are protesters on the street. Lara, thanks so much.
Great. Thanks for having me.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.